Oh, what a joy once again to be back with you all in the ministry of the Word of God.
Yes.
Would you please take a look at this morning's message? It is entitled The Cherished Friendships of Paul, Part 5. Why, this is all about Priscilla and Aquila, a double blessing in the life of the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
Now look at those names. If you are not familiar with these stories, if you're not familiar with who these people are, if you're not familiar with the relationship to the Apostle Paul, when you look at Priscilla and Aquila, why, you may think those are two women. You may think that.
Sure.
Because after all, the woman's name comes first. It's Priscilla and Aquila. But I'm here to tell you, this is a husband and wife team. And six times in the Word of God, their names are mentioned together, and four out of the six times, her name comes first.
Nice.
And there's a reason for that. We're going to see that this morning. But that's why I have entitled this message, It's All About Priscilla and Aquila, the wife.
Yes.
And the husband, coming alongside the Apostle Paul, what a ministry they have had.
Amen.
Now let's review. The first friendship we looked at was Barnabas, son of encouragement. Then secondly, we looked at Silas, the silent hero working behind the scenes. Then the third friendship we saw was
Luke,
the beloved physician. Today, this is all about Priscilla and Aquila, a double blessing in the life of the Apostle Paul. Now, how in the world do we get oriented to the story? Well, we've got to start in the book of Acts. So, I'm using the Pew Bibles in our church today. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then comes the book of Acts. So I'm going to ask you to turn with me, please, to page number 1095. This places us in Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, we are at the Jerusalem Council. A council has convened to discuss an issue that was raised during Paul and Barnabas's missionary journey. You all remember what the issue was. Paul, associated with Barnabas, the son of encouragement, ministering among the Gentiles, and lo and behold, Gentiles were coming into the church without being circumcised. And the Jewish brethren in Jerusalem had a bit of a problem with that, so they hooked it up to Antioch, the church that commissioned Paul and Barnabas to go preach to the Gentiles. They discussed the matter. They came down to Jerusalem, they deliberated over the matter, and they wrote a letter announcing their decision that Gentiles do not need to be circumcised in order to be saved and become part of the body of Christ along with Jewish Christians. Well, that's Acts chapter 15. Sometime after that, Paul and Barnabas want to go on missionary trip number two. And you do remember what happened. Look with me, please, at Acts chapter 15. I'm on page 1095. There was a sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. We looked into that, and the team split up. And Barnabas took John Mark and went into Cyprus, and Paul took Silas and went back into the region where they first had traveled. As they're traveling, the Spirit of the living God intervenes in the life of the ministry of Paul and says, no, we don't want you to go that away. We want you to go this away. Well, that's Acts chapter 16, and thus begins the second missionary journey. This time, the journey is with Paul and Silas, and Luke joins the team. We saw that last week. Now, the ministry begins in Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. On the second missionary journey, it's now Paul, and Silas and Luke, and they see this vision from the man of Macedonia. He leads them westward into Greece. Look at the first stopover, verse 11. It's the ministry in Philippi. Then from Philippi, look with me at chapter 17. It's the ministry in Thessalonica, verse 1 of chapter 17. Then come down with me, please, to chapter 17 and verse 10. It's the ministry in Berea. Then come down with me, please, to chapter 17 and verse 16. It's the ministry in Athens. This is a long, lengthy missionary trip that Paul is embarking upon. And after his time in Athens, he leaves Silas and Timothy there and commissions them to go elsewhere. And Paul hoofs it into the city of Corinth. And that's where our story begins this morning. And after the ministry in Athens, this is a long, lengthy ordeal. We read in Acts chapter 18 and verse 1, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. Verse 2, there he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them. And because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. Verse 9. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Now come on down with me to verse 18. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He went himself into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, I will come back if it is God's will. Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Isn't this amazing? A woman named Priscilla, married to a man named Aquila, had an incredible ministry in the life of the Apostle Paul humanly speaking, if there were no Priscilla and Aquila, they might not have ever been a church in Corinth. There might not ever been a gifted preacher like Apollos, and there might not have ever been an Apostle Paul surviving this mission trip.
Amen.
It's an amazing story. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the privilege that is ours to once again look into the ministry of the Word of God. We'd ask that the Spirit might bless us, might encourage us, might lift our sights beyond our cares and woes of this day. To the joy and blessing it is to walk with thee. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The last chapter of Romans is one of the most remarkable chapters in all of the Bible. In the first 16 verses, Paul sends his greetings to at least 24 individuals by name, as well as two unnamed saints. He also closes with greetings from 9 believers who were with him when he wrote the letter. That's a lot of names, which reveals that Paul was a friend maker as well as a soul winner. He had friends in the Lord and he appreciated them, so writes Warren Wiersbe. The first two names call for special attention. Paul says to the Romans in Romans chapter 16 and verse 3, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that is in their house." That's Romans 16, verses 3, 4, and 5. We don't know where or when they put their lives at risk for Paul, but this event remained entrenched in his mind, and it left him with a lasting sense of gratitude for his two devoted friends. They risked their neck for him, so reads the KJV. They risked their neck, a team risking their lives for the Apostle Paul. Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned 6 times in the New Testament, 3 times in Paul's letters, and 3 times in the book of Acts. Each author, Paul and Luke, puts Priscilla before her husband in 2 out of the 3 times he mentions them. Perhaps the reason was spiritual. She may have been converted before he was, or more involved in Christian service than he. Or perhaps the reason was social. She may have been more prominent in the community. Or perhaps the reason was due to her temperament. She may have been the more dominant personality. Whatever the reason, both authors recognize her value and her worth by placing her name before his more often than not. There is a reason for that word order, and that is probably the best explanation of why that word order is the way that it is 4 out of the 6 times. Paul's friendship with them dates back to his initial visit to Corinth on his second missionary journey. That's Acts 18, verses 1 through 17. Like Paul, they were Jews and tent makers. Acts 18, verses 2 and 3. Having moved to Corinth from Rome, they later accompanied Paul to Ephesus. That's Acts 18 and 19, where they hosted a church in their house for several years before returning to Rome, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 19. While in Rome, they hosted another house church, that's Romans 16 and verse 5, and by the end of Paul's life, they had apparently returned to Ephesus, that's 2 Timothy 4 and verse 19. Their loyalty and bravery on behalf of the ministry of the gospel, and their willingness to use their home as a means of Christian witness, offer a timely challenge to us today. We are living in dark, difficult days.
Amen.
We need to band together. We need to work together. We need to serve together. And there's no better model than Priscilla and Aquila opening their hearts, using their hands, opening their homes to assist Paul in the ongoing ministry of Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Their loyalty to the ministry of the gospel and their willingness to use their home as a means of Christian witness offer to us a timely challenge today.
Amen.
Do they ever? We begin in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, A on your notes. That's where their ministry begins. Their ministry begins in Corinth. Acts 18, verses 1 through 4. Here's Luke's report once again. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them. Because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Aquila was born in Pontus, which was a large Roman province on the southern shore of the Black Sea. We're not told why or when he emigrated to Italy, or whether this move was before or after his marriage to Priscilla. We don't know that. But we do know that they left Rome for Corinth together, and we do know the reason why. Next page, please. In God's providence. Aquila and Priscilla had been forced to leave Rome because of the Edict of Claudius. He was the Roman emperor of the time. He issued an edict, the year was AD 49. According to a first century Roman historian, riots were breaking out in the Jewish community because Jewish Christians were preaching the Messiahship of Jesus. The edict was a simple fix, and here it was. All Jews must leave the city. That's the city of Rome. For some unknown reason, Aquila and Priscilla fled as far as Corinth. They not only left Rome, they left Italy, and they sailed to Greece and landed in Corinth, where they were thrown into a close association with the Apostle Paul, who would arrive shortly thereafter in God's providence. He moves them out of their comfort zone into a new world, a new opportunity, where they will come into contact with the Apostle Paul. Their lives will be forever changed. Oh, and by the way, so will Paul. Mm-hmm. Now, you have been with me long enough to know by heart Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Mm-hmm. I know you know Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. I'm not going to call upon you. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. I know you're ready. I'm not going to do that. But here's Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know, says Paul, that in all things, God causes everything to work together for good to those who love him and to those who are called according to his purpose. We call that providence.
Hallelujah.
We call that God's loving, caring control of all of the events of our lives, the good times and the bad times, the blessings and the sorrows are all part of a plan that God is working in our lives for our good and his glory.
Amen.
And that's what's happening to Priscilla and Aquila. Or is it Aquila and Priscilla? And Priscilla and Aquila. That's what's happening. In God's providence, they are being uprooted. Well, what about their new home? What about all of the taxes that they've already paid? What about all of the upgrades and capital improvements? What about all of their friends in the neighborhood? What about the schools? He's uprooting everything. Mm-hmm. Uprooting everything. There is an edict from Rome by a godless emperor. I want all Jews out of Rome. Doesn't matter to me if you're Jews or Jewish proselytes or Jewish Christians. I don't care. There's too much trouble in my city erupting in the synagogues because somebody is preaching about this Jesus being the Messiah. I want nothing to do with it. Everybody out. And that's what happened.
Wow.
That's what happened. And in God's providence, here's a husband and wife team uprooted from Rome. And for whatever reason, we don't know, they not only flee Italy. Remember, the edict is not you got to leave the country. It's just you got to leave the city. They don't go north. They don't go south. They go out of the country. And they land in Corinth. And in God's providence, who is about to show up? The Apostle Paul.
Amen.
Back to the
Amen.
Notes. Aren't you glad we have notes for me to run on? Oh, I know you are. Providentially as well. Aquila and Priscilla were both tent makers. Isn't that interesting? As was the Apostle Paul. So when he found them, what do you think Paul did when he went to Corinth? Why, he went to Tent Maker Alley. There's a whole street where the tent makers are opening up their shops. Paul is a tent maker, and in God's providence, he goes down to Tent Maker Alley, he finds them, and when he finds them, he finds needed employment with them. Isn't that interesting? No doubt his funds were totally depleted, because when you go back to Acts chapter 17, he was preaching every day in Athens, no time to make tents. Funds are being depleted, but when he found this uprooted couple, when he found them in a new city that he had just landed in, he found a camaraderie. He found a people in the same trade as he was, and he found employment with them. But guess what else happened? He also found housing. He lived with them during his lengthy stay in Corinth, working at his trade on every weekday and witnessing boldly in the synagogue on every Sabbath. A lifelong association with Aquila and Priscilla resulted, which included their fellowship in Christian ministry and their daily labors in the same trade. Can you imagine working alongside of the Apostle Paul Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then you take time off. Remember, Saturday is Sabbath. You're going to be with Paul. There's no church yet in Corinth. You're going to be with Paul in the Jewish synagogue. There was always an opportunity for somebody to stand up and speak from the scriptures. Paul's a trained rabbi. You're with Paul. You're in the synagogue. You're listening to Paul preach about Jesus Christ being the Messiah in a synagogue that you're now just attending. This is amazing. It is absolutely amazing what's happening to them and what is happening to Paul. Paul finds housing. He finds employment. He finds encouragement. He finds mutual aid. They're being blessed and deepened in their Christian faith. So back to the notes. The arrival of Silas and Timothy from Macedonia, that's in northern Greece, enabled Paul to devote more time to his ministry in Corinth. We just read that in Acts 18 and verse 5, which is cross-referenced in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 9. But Paul never broke off his business ties with Aquila. In the words of one author, tent-making allowed Paul, during the year and a half that he remained in Corinth, to keep himself financially independent of the Corinthian church. That's 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 9. Through their partnership with Paul, Aquila and Priscilla received a priceless spiritual boon and rendered the church a great service. So writes D. Edmund Hebert. Now that is a remarkable partnership. They are being blessed. Priscilla and Aquila are receiving a priceless spiritual boon, and they in turn are rendering the church a great service. Were they already believers when they first met Paul? Well, neither Luke nor Paul ever suggest that they were Paul's converts, nor would it seem likely that they would have so readily accepted Paul as a business associate if they weren't in the faith, knowing that he was a minister of the gospel of Christ. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to do that? If you've got somebody there that's already going to start creating problems in the new city in which you landed, he's preaching that Jesus is the Messiah in Jewish synagogue. Why would you want to associate yourself with anybody like that if you're not already in the faith? Well, that's probably the reason they did that. They were already Christians. In all likelihood, they were converted to the Christian faith while in Rome, and their associations with Paul would have led them into a greater involvement within the Christian community, as we shall see. Love the quote here by Warren Wiersbe. Here is what he says. Every Christian church should be thankful for people like Aquila and Priscilla, people with hands, hearts, and homes dedicated to the Lord. First comes the devoted heart, then the working hand, then the open home. Do you see it? Doesn't matter how spacious your home may be. Doesn't matter how small your home may be. Doesn't matter. If your heart is not devoted to Jesus Christ, you're never going to open your home to further the witness and the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter how skilled you are in your employment, doesn't matter how hardworking you are with your hands, you're never going to use your hands in order to serve Christ if your hearts are not first devoted to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
First comes the heart devotion. And then with the heart devoted, we use our skills, in this case, their hands, to further the ongoing support and ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as hearts work with hands, guess what happens? Homes open up. Doesn't matter if the cleaning lady came in that week or not.
Amen.
The homes get opened up because the hearts and hands are devoted in the work and ministry
Amen.
Of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, how basic this is.
Mm-hmm.
God has blessed us with homes.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He has blessed us with skills. He has blessed us with abilities. If our hearts are not devoted, doesn't matter how skillful we are.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter the blessings of our home. Doesn't matter. You'll never be employed for the use of the gospel ministry of Jesus Christ. And that is what is so sad in the Church of Jesus Christ today. It is so sad. People so skilled, so talented, so blessed with means and opportunities, never once thinking that they might be able to be used in the service of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got a lot to learn from Priscilla and Aquila.
Amen.
Oh, yes, we do. Well, look, their ministry begins in Corinth. That's Acts 18, verses 1 through 4. Now, B on your notes, their ministry shifts to Ephesus. Now I'm dropping down to Acts 18, verses 18 through 22. Once again, here's Luke's report. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. That would be 18 months. Then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church, that's at Jerusalem, and then went down to Antioch, that's in Syria. Now look, it's important to note that when Paul left Corinth, his hosts left with him. Well, what did they do with their tent-making business? Well, maybe they hired a manager to supervise the business in Corinth when they moved on with Paul to Ephesus. Or maybe they just picked up shop and moved their shop down from Corinth to Ephesus. This is a very mobile, flexible, husband and wife team. After a brief stay in Ephesus, he sailed to Caesarea. Then, says Luke, he went up to Jerusalem. Well, that means he went some 65 miles south. When Luke says he goes up to Jerusalem, he means up Mount Zion, which from Paul's vantage point in Caesarea is 65 miles to the south. That's where Mount Zion is. And then he finally goes down to Antioch. Well, that's 300 miles north, because Paul is going down Mount Zion up to Antioch. That's the language and geography of the day. And there Paul is reporting to and ministering in the church that had commissioned him to reach the Gentiles. He's back in Antioch. But he left his two devoted friends in Ephesus. Question. Why in the world would he leave them there? Answer. In the words of one commentator, their presence in Ephesus would not only lay the groundwork for his intended work there, but would also provide a means of livelihood for him while preaching in that city. Well, that makes sense, does it not? Paul's got plans, and he knows he's got devoted friends that can help him work out those plans. If he's got a husband and wife team like this that he can leave behind in Ephesus, priming the folks in Ephesus, if it's God's will, I'm coming back, then he knows he's got somebody that's going to lay the groundwork, and he knows he's got somebody that's going to be a financial base for him if and when he gets back, if it is God's will. This is a man who's got plans, and in the wisdom of the Lord, he knows how to employ his friends in the best way possible to accomplish those ends. And guess what? Priscilla and Aquila say, sure, no problem. We'll be happy to stay back in Ephesus. We'll be happy to stay here. We'll lay the groundwork for you. We'll build a financial base for you. So if it is God's will, you'll be up and running by the time you get back. This is an amazing part of Paul's ministry. As it turned out, Priscilla and Aquila would remain there for 4 or 5 years, hosting a congregation of believers in their home, and they were probably there during Demetrius's riot, which Luke is going to describe for us in Acts chapter 19, that's the third journey, which may have been the occasion when they risked their lives to protect Paul. This is incredible. Paul says, listen, I am so grateful. I've got a husband and wife team. They risked their neck to save my life. But he never tells us when that happened. It's possible it happened while they were there in Ephesus. 4 to 5 years, Paul comes back, spends close to 3 on the third missionary journey. There's this tremendous riot that breaks out. It could be then that they risked their lives to save his. And Paul survives the ordeal and presses on. Absolutely amazing. But during his absence, next page please, Priscilla and Aquila attended worship services in the Jewish synagogue where a gifted teacher was preaching from the Old Testament scriptures. Look at Luke's report. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, that's Egypt, came to Ephesus, that's modern-day Turkey. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. My goodness, this man is educated. He's skilled. He's no doubt a rabbi. He is traveling to synagogues, and he's preaching that Jesus is the Messiah. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only of the baptism of John. That's John the Baptist. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Well, when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home, imagine that, and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Well, that's Acts 18, verses 24 through 26. Can you imagine? You have got a gifted, trained, educated PhD. He comes into your synagogue. He's a well-schooled rabbi. He knows the Old Testament scriptures. He's teaching adequately about the Lord Jesus, but what he knows only takes him as far as the baptism of John. He hasn't yet heard about Pentecost and the 3,000 getting baptized by the Apostle Peter. He hasn't quite gotten the full story. And here you've got Priscilla and Aquila schooled by Paul, and they're listening, and they're looking at one another, and they're saying, you know, there's something this guy is missing. There's something this guy is really bad. So rather than stand up in the synagogue and call him out, they say, come on home for dinner. Come on home for dinner. We'd love to have you come into our home, and we'd love to help you learn some stuff that we have been learning from Paul. We think it's going to help you in your preaching ministry. Mm. This is absolutely amazing. That's what this couple is doing. It is a last... I'm sorry, let's go back to right after that quote by Luke. Luke's ordering of their names. Remember, he's talking about Priscilla and Aquila. Remember that? Luke's ordering of their names implies that Priscilla led in their ministry to Apollos and not merely joined with her husband in his meetings with Apollos. This is amazing. That's the implication there. It's Priscilla and Aquila who aided Apollos. You get the sense that Luke places her first because she's the one that's leading the way along with Apollos in this private ministry in their home. But as one commentator notes, well, praise God, this personal and private ministry with her husband in no way negates the teaching of the New Testament that excludes a woman from a public ministry of teaching and ruling a church. Back to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. Thank you, Dr. George W. Knight III, in his wonderful little book and called The Role Relationship of Men and Women. Isn't that amazing? Was Priscilla gifted in the teaching of the Word of God? Absolutely. Did she have a pastoral heart? Of course she did. Did she willingly enjoy opening her home to house the local church? Well, yes, of course she did. But nobody would be more surprised than Priscilla if Paul asked her to become part of the eldership in the church that was meeting in her home, because she knew, based upon the clear teaching of the Apostle Paul, that no matter what her gifts and skills might be, she had a limited scope within the church because the governing authority of the local assembly, 1 Timothy 2, 1 Corinthians 14, is entrusted to gifted men. Women come alongside, they assist, they serve, they help, they teach, they involved in pastoring any way they can, short of being in the governing eldership of the local church or ministry. That's what we learn here. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. It's also a lasting tribute to their tact and graciousness that such a learned scholar and noted rabbi would so readily have received their instruction. Love this. The ministry that they rendered in the privacy of their home proved to be a great boon for the cause of Christ, for Apollos, having been fully illuminated concerning the gospel, became an effective worker with the other believers in Christ who resided in Ephesus. Priscilla and Aquila encouraged Apollos in his desire to carry his ministry to Achaia. So writes D. Edmund Hebert, back to Acts chapter 18 and verse 27. When you read the story, here is the husband and wife team encouraging this man after he's learning more and more and more about the things of the gospel to follow his vision, go back to Greece and to preach and teach the word in the churches that are there. And when you read the story, somebody wrote him a letter of commendation to take with him to the church at Corinth so that he would be welcomed by the Corinthians that may well have been Priscilla and Aquila. And when you read about his ministry in Corinth, that's the opening four chapters of 1 Corinthians, you're blown away. Once you understand the couple working behind the scenes, getting him up and running, was Priscilla and Aquila, who has been blessed by the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Amen. In God's providence, he causes all things to work together for good. Later, when Paul returned to Ephesus and wrote 1 Corinthians, chapter 16 and verse 8, makes note of this, Aquila and Priscilla sent them warm greetings as former members of the Corinthian church. Here's the greeting. The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets in their house. That's Paul writing from Ephesus to the Corinthians in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 19. This provides us with an added glimpse into the ministry of this hospitable couple. Not only had they furnished Paul a home in Corinth, but they also opened their home as a regular meeting place for believers in Ephesus. Thus, their home became a center for mutual help, biblical instruction, and united worship. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
Their home became a safe haven and sanctuary for the saints.
Amen.
Who were gathering to worship the Lord Jesus Christ on the Lord's day. Well, thank the living God, their ministry, which began in Corinth, shifted to Ephesus, but then see on your notes that ministry continues in Rome. While still in Ephesus, Paul made plans to pass through northern and southern Greece and then go on to Rome. That's Acts chapter 19 and verse 21. Some months later, when he wrote the letter to the Romans from Corinth, back to Acts 20, 1 through 3, he sent greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 16 and verse 3. Evidently, when Paul left his work in Ephesus after the Ephesian riot, Acts 20 and verse 1, they also decided to leave the city and return to Rome, undoubtedly in full agreement with Paul. Please note well, their presence in Rome would assure Paul of a ready acceptance by the church when he arrived. It would also further the cooperation of the church in view of Paul's plans for missionary work in Spain. That's Romans 15, 23-24. But in conveying his greetings to them, he adds, greet also the church that meets at their house. That's Romans 16 and verse 5. Once again, they had demonstrated their commitment to hospitality by opening their home for the saints in Rome to assemble. How would Paul have known that? He'd never been to Rome. He'd already heard the good news, and he would have not been surprised. Their services to the cause of Christ far exceeded their assistance to him. They went beyond helping Paul to helping the saints as the saints would gather in their own home.
Amen.
And finally, their ministry concludes in Ephesus. The last biblical reference to this remarkable couple is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 19, where Paul writes, greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Since Timothy was stationed in Ephesus when Paul wrote this letter, it seems obvious that Priscilla and Aquila were once again living in Ephesus. very flexible, very mobile, a couple. They begin their ministry in Rome. It shifts back to Corinth, and then over to Ephesus, and now back into Ephesus once again. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 19. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Since Timothy was stationed there, it would seem obvious that's where they wound up. Why? Well, they would have been drawn back not only because of their business connections they had established there, but also because of their strong ties with the Ephesian church. This return to Ephesus may well have been their last move. So, by way of conclusion, here's what we need to know. Paul had good reason. He had good reason for his high esteem of this remarkable couple. By calling them his fellow workers in Christ Jesus, Romans 16 and verse 3, he placed them side by side with himself in the service of Christ. They had furnished him a home and a means by which he could maintain his financial independence, and they shared in his aggressive efforts to spread the gospel wherever he went. He was also personally indebted to them for their brave intervention on his behalf, having risked their lives for him in saving his life. All the Gentile churches were also indebted to them, and so are we.
Amen.
Everyone agrees that Paul was a great apostle and a dedicated missionary and an exceptional teacher. How much would he have accomplished alone? Friends like Priscilla and Aquila, along with Silas and Timothy and the generous believers in Macedonia, all made it possible for him to serve the Lord in the amazing ways that he did. Aquila and Priscilla, in particular, encouraged him at a time when he needed it the most. Yes, they did. Humanly speaking, there might not have been a church in Corinth were it not for Aquila and Priscilla. Nor would Paul have survived his ministry had they not risked their lives to save his. Everyone needs friends like these to encourage them. And we should be encouraging others in the same way. Why? Because the Christian life is a team effort. That's the way God designed it. Encouragement is something everyone can do. How many times have you heard me say that? Encouragement is something everyone can do. You don't have to be a gifted expositor of the Word of God. You don't have to be trained in New Testament literature and exegesis. You don't have to have professional degrees after your name. Everyone can do encouraging. Encouragement is something everyone can do. Encouragement is also something everyone must receive. If God's greatest gift to us is His Son, John 3 and verse 16, then His second greatest gift to us is one another. Priscilla and Aquila, along with the rest of Paul's friends, are constant reminders of how much we need one another. Mm-hmm. Why then would we even think about facing the challenges of the Christian life alone?
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, how we thank you and praise you for the joy that is ours once again to look into the world. We thank you for these snapshots that Luke gives to us of Priscilla and Aquila. We thank you for their devotion and loyalty.
Yes, Lord, yes.
We thank you for devoted hearts and working hands and their open home,
yes,
which furthered the cause of the gospel of Christ. We ask that we might learn from them, be encouraged by them, and find find in them a greater source of motivation.
Yes, Lord.
To help and assist others. And therefore, we do pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.